Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm preaching this morning from Genesis chapter 6 on Noah's Ark. I would say almost everyone in the United States has heard of the story of Noah's Ark. Well, let's read God's instruction to Noah with regard to making the ark. He said in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." That's a black tarry substance made from some petroleum of some kind, oil. That's to keep it from leaking. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits." Now, there's debate as to how long a cubit is, anywhere between 18 and 21 inches, but that gives us some idea of the size of this ark. "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And he goes on to tell him about bringing all the animals that would be preserved into that ark with him. Now, like I said, most people have at least heard the story of God telling Noah to build an ark, a floating vessel, very much like a barge, probably shaped like a shoebox, because he was going to flood the world in judgment and drown everything that has breath because of the sinfulness of man. He said in verse 5 of this same chapter, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's God's testimony of man. We read in verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, cruelty. You couldn't go out in the streets. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." No exceptions to this. "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And that is when God told him to make this ark. Now, this book is inspired by God. I realize people could think about this and think, well, how could so many animals be in this one boat? That boggles my mind. Well, let me say this. I feel a need to say this. This book claims to be inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe everything in this book. If you don't have inspiration, all you have is my opinion and your opinion. And that's not worth anything. But thank God he has revealed himself through this book called the Bible. And I feel no need to give a scientific explanation for anything in it. I believe the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Somebody says, how do you expect me to believe that? Well, do you believe God created the universe? I know deep down you do. The universe didn't just happen. If God can create the universe, then he can inspire a book that he has written, inspire men to write it, and keep it preserved. It's not difficult for God. If you don't believe God, I can understand that there is a God. If you're an atheist, I can see why you would be very skeptical of the Bible. But if you believe God is, it's very easy to believe that he has inspired this word. And in this word, we're given this story about the ark of God, Noah's ark. And this ark is given to represent the gospel. It's not just the children's Bible story. We can learn the gospel through this story of Noah and the ark. Now, this ark is about salvation. The flood is about God's judgment against man's sin. And no ark is needed to tell that story. But the ark is about salvation. It's about God's gracious provision of salvation. You see, this is the first ark of the covenant. He said in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 6, but with thee will I establish my covenant. You see, he covenanted. He promised to save a people and save a people by a son. And the ark gives us an illustration of that. Now, Noah by nature was just as bad as everybody else. It's not like he was free from sin. It wasn't like God saved Noah because Noah was a good person. Noah was just as sinful as everybody else. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord established his covenant with Noah. Now, we read in verse 14 of the construction of the ark. He said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, gopher wood was not a type of wood like cypress wood or oak wood. It was cut wood to fit the dimensions which God gave him to make the ark with, gopher wood. Now this ark was huge. At least if a cubit is 18 inches long, it was 450 feet long. It was larger than the Titanic. It was shaped like a box. It was a barge. These pictures of it being a sailing vessel are not true at all. It was never meant to sail. It was only meant to float, as God sent the deluge in judgment. And no doubt it was the largest structure up to that time. It took Noah 120 years to build this ark. And you think of the intensive labor that was involved in the construction of this ark. And Noah didn't consult with architects or builders of that time. He built this according to God's direction. This was God's purpose, and this was God's design. Now listen to this. Everybody in the ark, with that exception, was saved. Every man and woman, every animal in the ark was preserved. All of the animals that were not in the ark, all of the men and women, boys and girls that were not in the ark, were drowned and destroyed. Now, what's the point? All in Christ are saved. All outside of Christ are lost. All in the ark were saved. And all outside of the ark were judged. And you can bet there was not a sign on the side of the ark when the waters were coming down with the men and women outside of it, smile, God loves you. That wasn't there. This ark was salvation from God's judgment. Now, it says in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. We're not told how many rooms, but there were individual rooms in the one ark. Now, what I thought about was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, plural, in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are spiritual blessings. And you know, really, the only kind of blessings there are spiritual blessings. People have a lot of money and a lot of health, and they think, oh, I've got God's blessing. Well, you might be under God's curse. Health and wealth are not necessarily signs of God's blessing. God's blessings are spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus our Lord, and every believer has them. You think of the blessing of election, being chosen by God before time began. There's a room. What about the room of redemption, where your sins are paid for by the blood of Christ? There's the room of justification, where you're made perfectly just and righteous before God's holy law, without sin before Him. There's the room of regeneration, where God gives you a new heart, a heart that was not there before, a new nature that causes you to cry out unto Him. There's the room of acceptance. We're made accepted in the Beloved. I am completely accepted by God. I'm completely received by God. Near, so near to God, near I cannot be. In the person of His dear Son, I'm as near to God as He. Dear, so dear to God, dear I cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, I'm as dear to God as He. Oh, the rooms that are in the ark, rooms of blessings, spiritual blessings. There were rooms in the ark. Now, people have speculated that there were stalls to keep the animals separated, perhaps, but you know those animals in that ark? They had to be given a change of nature so they wouldn't attack one another and eat one another. Somehow, supernaturally, they were made to be the way they were before the fall when they were all plant eaters. And somebody says, well, there were rooms for Noah's living quarters. That may be as well, but this is all given to teach us of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it also says in verse 14, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, after this wooden structure is built, they were told to take a black tarry substance called pitch and cover the ark completely inside and out. And that's to keep the water out. But do you know that that word pitch is the same word translated atonement? Atonement with atonement. Exact same word. You see, the atonement of Christ is how God saves sinners. His death on Calvary's tree. Why did Christ die? Because He's made sin. The sins of the elect became His sins. He became guilty of those sins. And the wrath of God came down on Him because God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. He can't just accept sin. He punished sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that perfect obedience of Christ is given to every believer. And that is how a believer is saved. The atonement of Christ. The blood of Christ actually put away sin. Now, think about this ark. Everybody in the ark was saved. Everybody in Christ is saved. Everybody in Christ has their sins put away. Those outside of the ark, they drowned. Those outside of Christ, they will be destroyed. They will be cut off because they still have their sins. Now, when Jesus Christ died, understand this, Jesus Christ died for the elect. To say that He died for somebody who winds up in hell is to destroy the very foundation of the gospel. That the blood of Christ is sufficient to save without any of our help. Hebrews 1:3 says He by Himself purged our sins. And to say that He can purge somebody's sins and they wind up in hell anyway is to take away the gospel and make salvation by works. No, all in Christ are saved. All he died for are saved. He atoned. He made atonement for their sins. All outside of Christ stand before God on their own. Now this word atonement, this word pitch, it's translated by these different words to appease, to cleanse, to disannul. This is true with regard to the sins of God's people. To forgive, to be merciful, to pacify, to pardon, to purge away, to put off, to make reconciliation. And this pitch was pitched on the outside to keep the water from coming in, and it was also pitched on the inside. The reason our hearts persevere if we're believers is because of the blood of Christ. It's not because of something we do. It's because of the blood of Christ preserving us. And that's the only thing really that melts our heart. Law and terrors do but harden when attended all alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon will dissolve a heart of stone. Now look in verse 15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Roughly 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall, about the height of a five-story building. The length of a football field and a half with three different stories for the animals and for the food. But what I'd like to point out, this ark of salvation, and this ark is Christ, it's given to picture him. The wrath of God fell upon the ark. All in the ark were saved from the wrath of God. Now he gives the length, the breadth, and the height of that ark. Now the length of the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's salvation, is from eternity to eternity. It's an infinite line. It is eternal. You see, all God does is eternal. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So there's no beginning, there's no end to God's salvation. The width is it's wide enough for the very chief of sinners, the worst man to ever live. It's wide enough for that man, yet it's so narrow that if you have anything other than Christ, you can't get through. The height, it brings you all the way into heaven. What a glorious structure this structure is. And then we read that it had one window. Now in this huge ark, verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark. One window at the top to let light in. You see, Christ Jesus is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. He is the light as to how God can save sinners. He is the light. When he said, I am the light of the world, that's when they took that woman who was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, there was no doubt about her guilt. And they brought her before the Lord and said, Moses said that such should be stoned. That's what Moses said in the law. But what sayest thou? You see, they wanted to trip him up in his words. They wanted to condemn him. They thought if he says stone her, we could say, where's your mercy? If he says let her go, we could say, where's your respect for God's law? And so he said, he that's without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And he was talking about that sin. I have no doubt about it. And they all with shame began to leave. You see, anything you judge somebody for, you're guilty of the same thing. It's an act of hypocrisy. And these men with shame walked away, and the Lord looked at that woman and said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now he's the light as to how this woman can be guilty, taken in the very act, and yet not condemned because there's nothing to condemn her for. You see, Christ is the light as to how this man Noah can be righteous before God. He said, thee have I seen righteous before me. Now, if you will go on reading in this passage of Scripture, the first thing he did when he got off the ark was plant a vineyard and get drunk. And what all, you know, what happened after that with his sons? This man was a sinner. But God says, thee have I seen as righteous before me. Now, God sees things as they are. He didn't pretend Noah was righteous. When he saw Noah as righteous, it's because Noah was in fact righteous. And the only light we have for that is the light of the gospel. Christ is the light as to how me, a sinner, can actually be righteous before God, and God can embrace me and receive me as one who's never sinned. That's the glory of the gospel. Christ is the light of that. And the only way you could look is up. Not horizontally, but vertically. You know, you look around at what's going on and it seems like there's nothing but chaos. But we look up, God is on the throne. God is ruling and reigning. He's in control of everything. And we have peace. There was one light, one window in that whole ark. And there was one door. There's one way into God's presence. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one door. There's one way to the Father. Not two ways, but one. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now you think of this door. A door is given to let people in. A door is given to let people out, set them free. A door is given to keep people in. You know, the scripture says the Lord shut them into the ark. The Lord was the one who shut the door. And a door is given to keep people out. Anybody who comes pleading their own works, you're not gained admittance. It's only those who have nothing that are received freely and that walk through the door. There was only one door. And I'm thankful for that one door. And look what the Lord said to him. He said in verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. He didn't say you'll go into the ark. He said you'll come into the ark. And look what chapter 7, verse 1 says. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Not go into the ark, come into the ark. Now, if you're outside, you'd say go into the ark. But if you're in the ark, you'd say, come into the ark. This is God speaking to Noah and his family. Come into the ark. And this is the message of the gospel. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:17 says the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the message of the Holy Spirit and the church. Not go and do and make yourself ready. Come right now as you are. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You're to come into the ark. Somebody says, am I invited? No, you're commanded. You're commanded to come into the ark. Now, if you come in, you'll find out that it was because he caused you to come. But right now, the message of the gospel is not go and do. Not go and make yourself ready. Come into the ark just as you are. Not trying to make yourself worthy to come. Come as a sinner into the ark and find the complete salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Now the next thing that I would notice about this ark is a window shalt thou make to the ark, a cubit shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories. Thou shalt make it. Now why three levels? Why not two? Why not four? I don't have any doubt that this represents the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what the Scripture teaches concerning the character of God. He's one God and three distinct persons, and all three persons of the Godhead have their salvation. God the Father elects before time began who will be saved. He gives His Son to represent the elect. God the Son redeems them. He works out a perfect righteousness for them, puts away their sins. He redeems them. God the Holy Spirit regenerates them. He's the author of the new birth. It's a Trinitarian salvation. But none of that is understood unless they're all understood in the light of Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that ark, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, is all the fullness of God the Father, is all the fullness of God the Son, is all the fullness of God the Holy Spirit. Oh, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And you really don't have any understanding of the Trinity of God unless you see that it's all embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody says, explain that to me. I couldn't possibly explain that. I can't explain how God is one God and three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the body of Jesus Christ. I can't explain that, but I believe it. It's what God says to us with regard to himself concerning his word. And then in verse 21 of chapter 6, let me read this verse. And take thou unto thee of all food that's eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. All food that was needed was found in the ark. Noah didn't have to go out every once in a while and fish to get food for the inhabitants of the ark. All of the food that was needed was found in the ark. Now, I just quoted Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It says next, and you are complete. You are full in him. You lack nothing. Now, my dear friend, in Christ Jesus, there is complete salvation. There is the lacking of nothing. You are perfect in Christ. You have all you need in Christ. There's nothing outside of Christ that you need or even want. You are perfectly accepted in the Beloved. You have all you need. You're lacking nothing. There's nothing you need to strive for or reach for. All the believer is called upon to do is rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, come ye into the ark. Oh, what a glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, come to my son. Now, this is a command. You can't save yourself. If salvation's up to you, you're in trouble. I am too. We can't save ourselves. But the Lord, because of his covenant, has provided the ark, and everybody in that ark is saved. And everybody outside of that ark is lost. The ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we would like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. We begin at 10:30 this morning, 6 this evening, and 7 on Wednesday evenings. And we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nyberg@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.